For WILL, I'm Victoria Shepherd, and this is Mid-American Gardener, where we love to talk about anything connected to gardening in central Illinois. So this week, I'm anticipating learning a lot from my guest. When it comes to gardening, many of us may not think about how the changing climate affects our flowers, plants, and vegetables over the years. Well, today, I'm joined by state climatologist Dr. Jim Angel. Jim began working at the Illinois State Water Survey in 1984 and became the Illinois State Climatologist in 1997. His areas of research cover a wide variety of climate-related things, including, but not limited to, drought, extreme rainfall, climate impacts, and climate tool development. Recently, he has been the lead author on the Midwest chapter of the 4th National Climate Assessment that is scheduled to come out in December 2018. Welcome, Jim.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much for coming in. And I'm so excited about doing this because I learned something from every episode that I do of the podcast. But this is going to be new to me. I'm going to learn something new, walk away knowing everything about the climate.
All right.
Now, in your bio that I've read, you say that one thing you've learned over the years is that there is never a dull moment in Illinois when it comes to weather and climate. Even though I've only been here for a couple of years, I can put my hand on my heart and say I agree with you. So our subject today for discussion is going to be the climate and how it has an impact on what we do in our gardens in central Illinois. But I'm a little curious. Are you a gardener yourself?
I am somewhat of a gardener. We do have a vegetable garden, and I do stuff around the yard. So not as much as I'd like to, but it's a start anyway.
And what sort of things are you growing in your garden?
Yeah, well, right now, this year's been kind of a disaster, and we had a slow start there, so I didn't get anything in the ground this year. But in the years past, we've done things like green beans and tomatoes. That seems to be an all-time favorite there, and then green peppers and lettuce and some things like that. So it's kind of varies a little bit from year to year. My big challenge in the last couple of years is we've had our trees grow up larger and larger, so our garden gets shadier and shadier.
Ah.
So I'm not quite sure what to do without getting out the chainsaw at this point.
You don't want to do that.
Right.
And right now, the shade is probably a good thing.
That's right.
Although I did notice that currently humidity is up considerably, which is not great for humans. And we get those pesky mosquitoes. So humidity in the shade probably is not good, right?
Right. Yeah. So we've been tracking changes in humidity over time, and it has gone up over the years. And part of it is that we've got all these corn and soybeans growing around us, and so that's putting moisture into the atmosphere every summer. And so that really gives us a charge of extra humidity at this time of year.
So you're saying that because of this particular area, there's a lot of soybean production, that they are having an impact on the humidity in the air?
That's right. If you look at corn and soybeans, and Illinois is kind of ground zero for that, but the Midwest in general has seen this increase in humidity levels over the last couple of decades. And it's traced, or we think it's traced back to the fact that we got more corn and soybeans, and there's more plants per acre, and they have deeper roots. So all of that is, it just allows those plants to pull the moisture out of the ground and transpire that into the atmosphere, and so we get more humidity.
Interesting. I never even connected the two, that because we're in this area where there are a lot of crops. Interesting. Now, how did you get into climatology? What's your aha moment?
Well, I would say, I think most people, when you talk about that, it's probably severe weather. So some kind of, you know, thunderstorms, tornadoes, those kinds of things always capture your imagination. And I think that did for me as a kid. And then it kind of expanded from there into other areas. So originally I thought, it's all about thunderstorms and tornado chasing and all that stuff. But it actually is all kinds of things you can look at as you grow up. And so So I kind of took this path of doing more of the climate side, and it's been very interesting, that's for sure.
So did you chase of your fair share of tornadoes growing up?
Not really. I was in an area at the time where it was kind of hard to do that. There was a lot of hills and you just couldn't see very well. And this was back in the 70s. So, you know, the technology just wasn't there. I mean, nowadays it's a lot easier. You can pull up the radar map on your phone so you can see where they're coming from and all that good stuff. Back then you didn't have that. So it was.
You said hill. So you were not in Champaign-Urbana.
That's right.
Growing up. So right. Where did you grow up?
So I grew up in Missouri, south of St. Louis, so in the southern part of Missouri. And then later on, I went to school at the University of Missouri. And then after graduating there, I came here and started work at the Illinois State Water Survey.
Excellent.
Yeah, so we moved here in 1984, and it was to work at the Illinois State Water Survey, which is on the campus here at the University of Illinois. And at the time, it was a pretty major place to do climate research. So we had several climatologists there, and many of them are well known around the world. So it was a great place to be to start out your career.
Yes.
And I just stayed there, and so here I am today.
Well, we're glad you're here. So you're going to teach me and everyone else who's listening something. So what does the State Water Survey, what does that do? What is its purpose?
Yeah, so the State Water Survey is really the primary agency in Illinois that looks at the water resources of the state. Not in a regulatory way, but actually in terms of monitoring and research and understanding. And water is one of our probably one of our best natural resources that we have in the state. I mean, the people in California and Nevada, they would kill to have the kind of water problems we have because ours are always in the good sense that we usually have too much water. But overall, we have water, our water quality and water amounts are much better than they are in other parts of the world. And in fact, here in central Illinois, we're very fortunate that we're sitting right on top of the Mammoth Aquifer, which is an underground source of very good water for us here in central Illinois.
Oh, well, yeah, I am from California prior to this. And we got into the habit of collecting our bath water and shower water because we hadn't got any there. And we still do it here. So
okay.
It's something that we've continued, especially during the summer, that we try and use some shower water.
There you go.
Which is good for the environment, right?
That's right.
And you, I noticed on your, I was looking at your blog. You have a blog. Jim has a blog, folks. And that you had posted that the top 15 wettest June statewide precipitation total since 1895, and that six out of the last 10 years have made the list. And I was looking at this list that the highest, ranking number one by the looks of it, 2015, there was 224%. Am I reading that correctly? More than the average? Is that how you read that?
Yeah, 220% of the average. So more than double would be how you would say that. And so, yeah, very wet June that year. So it just... And it was one of those years where it was just wet everywhere. The whole state was just had an immense amount of precipitation. And so we've had a number of those in recent years. And that's kind of the trend that we're seeing in Illinois right now is this trend towards wetter conditions overall. And it's really showing up in all four seasons. And not only is it getting wetter, but we're also getting more of the heavy rainfall events. So it's not that every time it storms we get 10% more. It's that we're getting this... the more of these big 2, 4, 6 inch events that are cause a lot of trouble. So when you get, you know, 4 inches or 6 inches of rain, then you overwhelm the storm sewer systems. You get flooding the fields and things like that. So it's been a real problem in the last couple of decades for us in Illinois.
Now, and those huge downpours that we are getting aren't necessarily that good for gardening, are they? Because it's a deluge and there's a lot of runoff. So the plants aren't getting, if it's a quick downpour, it's not necessarily the best thing to have huge downpours.
Right. So if for June, if you had the choice between getting an inch of rain every week or a 4-inch rain in 30 minutes, you'd want the inch of rain every week because that allows it to soak in and so forth. The problem is when you get a big heavy rain event, not only does a lot of it run off, but it also carries off nutrients that you might have and causes erosion and then flooding in low-level areas. So if you got some areas that are poorly drained, it could be a problem during those events too. So, yeah, you really don't like want to have it all in one batch like that.
Yes. So what's the summer going? You had mentioned in some of our communication that the summers are getting drier. So what's the next few weeks or months, couple of months, looking like as far as are we going to have to get the sprinklers out?
Every year, this time of year, the demand on the soil moisture is much greater than what you'd get be supplied by natural rainfall. So in your garden, you probably are using about 6 to 8 inches of water for the month of July, but only on average about 4 months is falling. So the rest of it, either you have to add water, or if you've got good soil moisture, you can carry through that way. And then if you get in a hotter, drier situation, which we've been in the last couple of weeks, then you can use up that soil moisture even faster. Mm-hmm. So in these instances, even in a normal summer, it's hard to keep everything well watered during the July and August time frame, just because it's the demand is so high for it. And once you get into September, things kind of start to calm down a little bit, and soil moisture starts to bounce back up. But this July and August are probably the two critical months on soil moisture.
And we've also had a very wet spring, but with a wet spring, that can hold off with people working in the gardens and getting their work done, right?
That's right. Yeah, we've had trouble in past years with wet springs that it prevents people from getting in the garden. And you really don't want to push it, because if you get in there, you can compact the soils and ruin the structure of your garden if you start trying to, mud everything in, as they say. And so, in fact, I remember a couple of years ago, it was so wet in the spring that even the commercial vegetable growers around here were having trouble because they were even late on their planting of their vegetables in the spring. So it can cause quite a bit of disruption when you have those very wet springs.
I suppose, though, as well, if things are really wet, it can cause mold or fungus or bacteria as well.
That's right. That's the other thing, is when you get really wet conditions and then you get warm weather and warm, humid weather on top of that, that can really set you up for all kinds of fungal diseases and molds and mildews and all that good stuff. And so that's can be a problem as well. And some plants in the gardens can handle that much better than others. I know things like pumpkins and watermelons and a lot of vine plants really don't like a lot of wet weather.
Sitting.
Yeah, anything that sits on the ground.
I read something that you had written, that the milder winters are causing more overwintering, or means more overwintering of perennials, or more overwinter of pests and weeds. But would you class this last winter as mild?
Yeah,
am I just really painfully, weak? And
you're getting soft.
Yes. Was this considered a mild winter?
This winter was probably one of the oddest winters, in that we kind of went back and forth. We had some really cold weather. If you remember, New Year's Day, it was minus 15 here in Champaign-Urbana. Mm-hmm. So that was very cold. But then we had some other weeks that was pretty mild. And then we kind of warmed up in March and everything was going well. And then all of a sudden it turned cold in April.
It crashed.
And we had snow on April 1st. And so it was just a very strange winter. But this winter was a little closer to what we would consider the average winter for Illinois than the last couple. Last winter was actually fairly mild. In fact, if you remember February, it was like 60, 70 degree days there.
Yes.
So it was very mild last year.
Which doesn't seem like that should be normal.
And that's right. That should not be. Yeah.
Now, with the milder winters as well, you have said that it's been problematic in that plants could be fooled into breaking dormancy and flowering earlier, only to get nipped later by a frost. And there are examples of 2007 and 2012 with losses in the billions of apples and cherries and peaches. Now, we had a lot of questions that were left by voicemail or by emails from fans of Mid-American Gardener, that this year they lost roses, hydrangeas, box hedges that they've had for 20 odd years. And is the snapping backwards and forwards what is causing this? Are the mild winters the problem, or the fact that we had the swings?
Yeah, I think it's probably as much the swings more than anything, because a lot of plants, especially if it gets cold, kind of gradually, and they can get toughened up by that, so they can handle the colder temperatures. The worst case scenario is probably what we had this year, where it was fairly mild up through Christmas, mm-hmm. and then we got hit with minus 15 degrees. That's
right.
Pretty tough on anything sticking out of the ground. Now, below the ground, with the soil temperatures, those are more conservative, so they don't cool off quite as fast. So anything below ground or near the ground could handle
protected.
A little better. Yeah, it's more protected. But I noticed the roses took a real beating this winter.
Yes.
And I think it's probably because of that minus 15 that one day there. So the other thing is that we also, in the wintertime, if we get good snow cover, that can help quite a bit too. So if we get a...
Does that act as an insulator then?
That's right. It's an insulator. So if we get, 6 inches of snow on the ground, that can really help insulate against those really cold temperatures. We had a case, it was several years ago, where we were at minus 25 degrees at 5 foot there. And we had soil temperature instruments at 4 inches below the ground, and they were at 32 degrees. So it had that much of it, and then we had a foot of snow on
wow.
the ground. And so between 5 foot and 4 inches under, we had that much difference in the temperature. So they could really make
drastic.
A difference. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Now, the summers, though, you have said that the daytime temperatures are not changing considerably, but the nighttime temperatures are climbing. How does that connect to our plants and our gardens? What do the plants care if it's hot during the day and not going as cool at night?
Yeah, so that one's some plants are sensitive to nighttime temperatures. It actually can reduce their ability to be productive. So sometimes you have a loss in yield in certain plants by higher nighttime temperatures. They really like it to be warm during the day and cool at night, so they can do their thing. The respiration part of their process is at night. So yeah, if you get higher nighttime temperatures, that can be added stress on them, especially when it gets really bad. Like this summer, when we had several days there where mm-hmm. it only cooled off into the
70s. Oh my gosh,
last
week it was... And I have to say that my dog actually snuggled with me those 2 days, which he's not done for a while. And I thought he was going off me. But as soon as it cooled down a bit, he's like, okay.
All right.
Okay, I'll come in for a hug.
Yeah.
Yes, they were nice. I wish we had some more cooler evenings.
Oh, yes.
Yes, so would our air conditioner.
Right.
So over the next... What are we looking at? Temperatures increasing in the future?
Yeah, so that's if you look at the scenarios for climate change in Illinois, by mid-century, as we say, they're about 4 to 5 degrees warmer on average. And that's the average temperatures. I would suspect that the extreme temperatures, like 95 degrees, 100 degrees, will become more common in that scenario. And then on the reverse side, we'll probably see milder winters with fewer of the really cold temperatures because of that. So everything, the whole climatology shifts towards the warmer pattern. And so here in Champaign-Urbana, we might see, we might have conditions more like southern Illinois, where they have a much longer growing season, for example. So, you know, you get down to Carbondale, places like that, they have an extra month's worth of growing season compared to what we have, just because they're farther south and they're a little bit warmer. So we might see some things like that as well, and maybe less snowfall overall, although really so far we haven't seen too big of a change in the snowfall patterns in Illinois, but there is a possibility we'll see less snow. So,
and you say temperatures are sort of 95, 100 degree mark are not out of the norm nowadays. Over, let's say, the last 50 years, has it changed considerably?
Yeah.
What does your research show?
So what we've seen with temperatures, especially summertime temperatures, it was the 1930s were the standout decade for hot temperatures in Illinois. If you want to, that's kind of the gold standard for really hot days. If you look at those kind of July of 1936, for example, we had a number of 100-degree days in here in Champaign-Urbana and across the state. And there was just some really hot years in the 1930s. There were also very droughty years. So hot, dry weather kind of goes hand-in-hand for Illinois. And so we had very droughty years in the 1930s and a kind of a second heat wave in the 1950s where we had several years of very hot conditions there. So,
and what caused that, in your opinion?
You know, the 1930s is an interesting one in that I've seen several research articles on that. I don't think anybody's really come down with one single answer and said, okay, here's why we had the 1930s. Mm-hmm. It's some have talked about being more, there had more La Nina events and some other things going on. There's certainly land use changes that were problematic and that they over-tilled and overproduced, and especially some of the western states. And we were kind of on the eastern edge of the 1930s drought. So we had drought, but it wasn't as bad as it was like in Kansas or Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm. And you said that mid-century we're looking at a 4 to 5 degree increase. That doesn't sound very much. So in the big scheme of things, is that a big increase?
It is. It's deceptively big. So right now, if you threw in May and June and July so far, we're running about 4 to 5 degrees above the normal. So, and normal for us is just an average from 1981 to 2010. So it's just that's kind of the benchmark. But so this summer, which is, I think most people would vote was very uncomfortable so far, would be probably pretty typical by mid-century. So, you know, more days above 90, you know, more nights that are hot and muggy and so forth. So, yeah, that's right. So that this may be a taste of the future, right, this year.
Okay. Tell us something that is bright for gardeners and people in central Illinois. Do we have a bright side to all of this?
Yeah, so there are some upsides. For one thing, we'll probably see a longer growing season. In fact, we already have our growing season here in all parts of Illinois has increased by about 2 weeks over the last century. So it's getting longer, and that's expected to continue. We might gain another month or so here in central Illinois. So longer growing season and shorter winters. So that's maybe the upside of that. So if you like to garden, that's always a good thing. And I think also from a gardening perspective, you know, we'll probably lose some varieties that it will become too hot, but we may gain some varieties from down south that we can bring up here too. So I know gardeners always kind of pushing the edge of the envelope there on gardening, on the hardiness zone. So maybe kind of try some more of the southern
because
varieties.
Because I think a lot of our gardening audience like to try new things.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps with this slight shift in weather, we can start looking at a few other varieties.
That's right.
Now, we're in zone 5 here. What is southern Illinois?
Yeah, southern Illinois is pretty solidly in zone 6. We're right, I think right now, in the latest map I've seen, we're kind of on, what was it, zone 6A or something. It's just, we're just kind of moved into that recently. So if you kind of picture in your mind those zones are moving northward, decade by decade. And so, yeah, we'll probably be pretty solidly in zone six here for a while, and then probably at some point end up in zone seven at the rate we're going.
So maybe it's a chance to experiment with new varieties of plants.
That's right, yeah. So
there is a bright side, folks. Now, insect challenges. These warmer climates bringing more insects and pests that are surviving through the winter. Japanese beetles. Does that mean we're going to have more Japanese beetles?
Yeah, so milder winters, we could have more pest problems in two ways. One is that they tend to overwinter more, but also, a lot of times they have multiple life cycles per season. So if you have a longer season, that means they have more chances of chewing on your plants. So they're more generations. Mm-hmm. So you could have great-great-grandchildren of the bugs that you had in the spring. So
none of them are going to have any grandchildren in my garden. Unfortunately, I am getting rid of them. Well, listen, Jim, if people want more information on what you do or what's happening in the climate around us, where can they go for more information?
Well, there's a couple of places they can check out. I have the website, which is at the Illinois State Water Survey.
And we'll put a link on the podcast as well.
And then I do the blog, which is climateillinois.wordpress.com. And then I also have a Twitter handle, which is JimAngel22. So all those different
ways. Oh, you can be reached
anywhere. Yeah.
And talking of social media, everybody, we at Mid-American Gardener now have an Instagram account. I believe our handle is at Mid-American Gardener. We are going to be uploading photographs that we have taken and some behind-the-scenes stuff. So if you are interested and love Mid-American Gardener, check it out, in addition to the other ways you can reach us. So, Jim, one more question for you. If you were a month of the year, what would you be, or which one would you be, and why?
Oh, okay. I would say probably July. Just for one thing, my birthday is in July, so I always have a special attachment.
Oh, has it gone?
Yeah, yes. It was actually yesterday, 2 days ago. It was Sunday.
Happy birthday,
Thank you. So July is always a special place for, and it's also summertime. I always loved the summertime, especially growing up. And so I have a lot of fond memories of July. Much more so than February or those months. So, yeah, I would definitely be a July person.
Okay. Well, happy belated birthday for a couple of days ago. And you are going to be on the Mid-American Gardener TV show in a couple of weeks.
That's right. That's right. About 2 or 3 weeks here.
So if people who are listening have enjoyed listening to Jim, tune in to WILL at 7 p.m. Central on Thursdays for the live show. Don't forget, you can also watch it on YouTube and access it, stream it at the midamericangardener.org website, where you can also get this podcast. You can also get it at Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and the NPR One app. Thank you, Jim, for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you to you, our listeners, for joining us for another fabulous episode of the Mid-American Gardener podcast. Mid-American Gardener is a production of Illinois Public Media. This episode was produced and hosted by me, Victoria Shepherd. Executive producer was Lisa Broltz. As I said, find us on the web at midamericangardener.org, where you can stream us as many times as you like. And please do subscribe, review, and rate, and comment with abandon. Getting your feedback will help us improve what we're doing and give you information that is not just helpful. It will entertain you. And if you have any gardening questions for future inclusion on either the TV show or this podcast, email us at yourgarden@gmail.com or message us via Facebook or call us and leave us a voicemail at 217-300-8224. Thanks again to Jim Angel for joining me. We will put his information up on the website so that you can find out more about the climate. And I'll be back in a couple of weeks with another gardening whiz. Until then, should we water or shouldn't we water?
water, yes.
Okay. Jim said it. Go ahead and water. Bye-bye.